Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we accept your divine presence. We only hope and trust, Father, that for which we are apprehended apprehends us, Lord, that we can really recognize your presence in the intimate way. Not as the prophet did, we don't ask that. We only ask, Lord, the fullness of our own portion, that we might have the maximum of the benefits of thy presence granted to us, O God, not just waiting for that great hour of transformation, but being filled with your presence in the very hour, moments preceding. And help us in your study tonight, Lord, because we know the virgin bride must know her mate, the revealed word, and we're looking at that tonight. Seeing the revealed word, seeing your presence, Lord, seeing the pitfalls, all those things brought before us, that we're thoroughly conversant with all these things upon whom the end of the ages have come. These are our requests tonight, Lord. We think we have a certain amount of faith because we believe it's our privilege to ask these mercies from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're into number 18 of The God of This Evil Age, and for two lessons now, you realize we have studied the seed of the serpent and learned that they are also called two other things. Number one, the children of disobedience and the children of the devil, whose natural election is in and through Cain, the child of Eve, and the subtle beast called the serpent. Now you notice that actually the children of devil, it's quite well known as a phrase, but children of disobedience is more or less to people an appellation. It might be called a noun in apposition. Thereby people actually escape knowing that term is a very wonderful term of description and is definitely a part of the doctrine of the mystery of iniquity. Again, we notice the natural election that Brother Branham mentioned to us, and that's also found in the book of Jude and also in Peter, where we find that these ones are also predestinated. They also have a calling. You'll find it also in Romans, the 9th chapter. Now, starting with the serpent, Satan enticed Eve by his theology of spurious revelation of Scripture, and then took over through Cain and his lineage until there was on earth both a serpent race and a sons of God race, with the two races eventually totally mixing, the mingling of the seed, and bringing forth a religious people more inspired by the devil than by God. And, of course, you can see that in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, which is immediately after the beginning of the repopulation of the earth, which at that particular time will now not have any one person living in it that is a pure human being. Because Noah was the last genetically pure human being. He was the only one perfect in his generation, the last one left. And now there is nothing but the admixture of the clay, one lump, from which God must now and does deal when the two seeds are coming down. Now, of course, this is not recognized by anybody but us. All right. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. They said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Now remember, this is one great organized people. Politically, they are deliberately setting their faces to a one religion, one understanding people. Now he said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them that they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord scattered them abroad thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Where therefore is the name of that it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now, what you're going to see here is the Alpha of the Omega, which at the end time, the people will all have to look to one city, and they will have one language, one understanding. The language doesn't necessarily need to be every nation have like Esperanto or something, you know, that they try to make a one world system, but they will have one language as to their theology, which you can see right now that there has to be one thought, which is the Trinitarian dogma of the Godhead. All right. So we see then that these two races came together, the sons of God and the sons of darkness, as they are called, or the children of good, the children of evil, the children of God, the children of the devil, those disobedient, those semi-obedient, you might say, in the sense that they are the children of obedience rather than children of disobedience, although those children are disobedient to the word. So they all come to one lump. And today it is ending up in a modern ecumenical council and church that will eventually be world-dominating in religion, politics, finances, and military power, with the devil himself incarnate in the beast, ruling it all until Jesus comes to take over. Now, make no mistake about it, it is religion that is in the vanguard of this great world conglomerate body of politics, finances, etc. And it is the head of the church that is running it, and that head is the incarnation of Satan, as was Judas, who was supposed to have been a believer in the Christ, but he betrayed him. Now, I want to just clue you in. In 1948, the United Nations was formed right here in the United States and categorically denied the Christian religion as being any more of any more effect or preeminence than any other religion, and forcefully denied any authority to all religions or all that had to do with God in the lives of anyone, but set their world government of finances, politics, and power in order, forbidding the influence of the spiritual, making it a matter of individual conscience, except to enunciate a code of morals embodied in the four freedoms, which can never be enforced outside the great moral giver himself, even God. Now watch. Here is the subtle catch of the whole thing. The whole geopolitical world's mind is dead to any thought of a spiritual or church takeover. So the minds of men cannot conceive of a spiritual power instead of a political power dominating mankind. And that power, of course, to them will be more like the communists, who signify that you cannot worship God, that religion must be done away with, the true religion of any form whatsoever. And then, of course, they will be asked to worship Satan. Now, if you go over, as we did, to the book of Acts, the 26th chapter, I believe what we looked at, or let me see over here. Well, 26 would be about as good as any. Well, no, we got 24 here. 24th chapter. And Paul is saying here, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Now, you can see, it will be a situation there where anyone trying to believe in the truth will be called a heretic, because you have to go by the established norms of the creeds and dogmas. It'll also be like the time when they took the disciples just after Jesus' resurrection, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and they whipped them and forbade them to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where you see Brother Branham was so strong on the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ instead of titles of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, only a bare handful knows we must watch the church and its leadership, not the politics, but religion. All the while, we in America are crying church and state separation, and the state's going to extremes to maintain it, All the while, the church in a 6-mile square block in Rome is advising and controlling the politics and will eventually take over religiously as soon as the nation's finances collapse, and thus we will have Satan's Eden, according to Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Now, as we are going to start on page 35 and paragraph 145, let us remember that women are acting out the spirit and condition of the church. So therefore, we will watch their influence as to what they are themselves and what they are getting the men to fall in line with, the influence upon the men. That's what you have to watch now as we begin to read. Women, in their condition, show the condition of the church, what they are like, what they are doing. And at the same time, you will find that they become the utter pawns of what they are hoping to win control of. Yeah, men are doing it right now to them. Women are so stupid, it's utterly amazing. I can't understand it. I don't even try to. And the church will be taken over 100% by the devil. Women running things will be run themselves. Overreading, 145th paragraph. So now, who is the leader of this modern religious evil age? It's the devil taking that tree of good and evil and placing it out there. All right? Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 6. The Bible does not say that the devil placed the tree there. It is more suggestive that God did it because he made Eden and put the man and the woman in there. But it doesn't say really that God did it. It said also the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were there. And you'll notice they are not said to be planted. They did not come out of the ground. So you have to limit yourself and be careful. But you notice what Satan says. He says here in verse 5, "For God doth know in the day of ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And now here's what happened. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, the tree was not good for food, because anything that'll kill you is not good for food. See? Anyway, she saw it pleasant to the eyes. How can something be pleasant that destroys you? At a tree that desire to make one wise, I don't think you're very wise if you're dead. You're actually very stupid to take something that's palmed off on you to be what it's not, and you've already been told by God what it is. So she took of the fruit thereof. Now notice she took of the fruit. She didn't take of the tree. She took of what the tree yielded. In other words, the life substance coming forth in a manifestation. This is what she grabbed. She took this entirely in contradistinction to what God placed there and how God described it and placed it as to its intrinsic content and to its absolute manifestation and what it would do. In other words, she had a complete recipe book from God, and she took the complete recipe book from the devil. So now you'll notice that this is what the devil placed out there, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that completely seduced the woman as to the integrity of God and the integrity of the devil and her ability to deal with the devil. At the same time, to deal with God. Actually, she lost out 100% when she went from behind the Word. Now, Brother Branham says, notice, bringing this beautiful church bride to the ecumenical council for a wedding. All right. What was back there, which was a complete deception by the devil, that everything is good. And that's true. There is nothing that God made that is evil. Now then, he is telling the people what they can do with what God made. Now that's like you coming into my house and telling me how to run my house, and I boot you up flat. She's always scared about how dirty our house is. I said, look, if anybody comes in and doesn't like my dirt, I will boot them out, and they go to their own dirt. It is that simple. Now that's, you know, that's so simple, you're missing the point exactly as to what happened in the Garden of Eden. Evidently something was wrong with what God set forth and how he set it forth. Somebody pointed that things could be better. Now God was completely satisfied because everything was good. Now the devil comes along and botches it. Now, this, what happened there, has gone through 6,000 years and is bringing a beautiful church bride to the ecumenical wedding. Now notice what he's saying here. For God doth know in the day of the eating thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that was a lie. But listen, it was the day of the eating wherein she had not yet eaten. You follow what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying? She hadn't eaten. But it was the day she could eat. Right? In the day of the eating thereof. Now, there's another day of eating, which was the tree of life that she was kept from by her own stupidity. Right? So, in the day of the eating thereof, and the tree is a mixed tree, signifying that you can use it to a wrong end. Pentecostals using the vindicated prophet with the vindicated word to deceive the people. Amen. And have taken them from the tree of life. In the day of the eating thereof, in the time when it can be done, it was then, not afterward, but then. Not at the time of the taking of it, but previous to it. The devil spun her lies so that when that miracle ministry came on the scene, that opening of the seals was turned down. Tree of life. Okay. Deception. The beautiful church is that. The ecumenical wedding. It's good to look at. Fine buildings, fine education, fine everything. Now, Brother Branham said the ecumenical wedding. He said, that's a good one. What is a union for? Adam was given Eve to reproduce himself. So, at the end time, the tree of life here with the open seals, because the open seals brings the tree of life, gives the bride the opportunity that is Hebrews 13:8, which is Genesis, what is it, chapter 18, where God comes to Abraham and to Sarah, and in that season of union, brings forth the Son in human flesh. So, the church cannot do it. It brings forth the bastard Cain from the prostitute Eve. Before she took one bite, she was thoroughly deceived. And in her deception, she brought forth the child that she said, I've gotten me a man from the Lord. Just stop and think how low that woman that came out of Eve, Adam, sunk. Now, I want you to think of women the same way in this age. I'm not hitting women here, I'm hitting the church. But I'm also hitting the scuzz sleaze bags out there that are women. I'm also letting you know, watch your clothes and your shoes. Women, you don't like that, do you? You're still, what does it possibly matter? I said to Brother Branham, Bill, I can't understand you and long hair. I said, I know these old flea bags with their long hair. They're as mean as the devil. They got tongues that can lick the jam off the doorknob, but just 20 paces away. They're mean as my old cow looked when she was ready to haul me across the prairie because she's way bigger than I was. And he said, Lee, I never said it made it spiritual. It's just a command to God. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But before women put those dresses on, they saw the Hollywood prostitutes out there, and it looked awful nice. And it was a tree of life, because sex brings life. Right. But it's a mistaken tree of life because she messed up and brought the filthy little murderer called Cain. His beautiful scientific church and all the degrees that can be gotten, PhDs out of the Church of Christ, PhDs out of the Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostals and all, bringing them with all their decorated fineries and big churches all to the ecumenical council. We are one. Why will it be done? Because the Pentecostal preachers don't want to forfeit their good living. They can't forfeit their pensions. They can't forfeit their positions. Yeah. We are one. It'll never be forgiven them. Well, that's understandable because it's all over anyway. But they don't understand this is a white throne. Most people in the Branham message don't understand it. When you make that a doctrine, you make that just a doctrine. You think you understand the judge in the white throne? I received a phone call this morning. Over halfway around the world, the preacher can't take the heat. He'll end up with the female Holy Spirit. I can understand that. The church is a whore with a Holy Spirit. Something's got to be female and ain't God. So much for that tract that's coming out of the south. To wear the brand of a denomination is the mark of the beast. We've done been through that, through it, on here to do it. Flee, children. Flee it. See? Great, beautiful church to the ecumenical wedding, wearing his mark. Now, what's his mark? He tells you. Shorts, worldly dress, sexy, paint, really good disciples of the devil to catch the sons of God. Marry a full-born boy off into some old reprobate like that. That's right. Now, let me just see if I can find something here, down here. Oh, yeah. Notice, marry a good, full-born boy. Off into some more reprobate. Paragraph 148, really catchers of God's sons, like it was, as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, fair women and so on, marry among them, so it'll be when the Son of Man returns. Now, this is tricky. Because if I believe Brother Branham here verbatim, with not trying to look at it carefully, then I must be of the opinion that election cannot hold good. And I must be of the opinion then that the choice is ours instead of God's. I must be of the opinion then, or the judgment, that it's very possible for this bride to fall and have fallen members. So I'm going to look at the Word, and I'm going to give you my understanding of it the best I can. He says, marry a full-born boy off into some old reprobate like that. What's he talking about? Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, a whole bunch of them. Now, he is talking also about the tree of good and evil placed out there. And if it is there, the tree of life is there. And we saw what was going on. That before they could get to it, the woman was deceived. So I am seeing here that the denominations which started under Luther took captive the sons of God, genuine sons of God, the same as Eve was a genuine human being, and since she came out of Adam, and the female spirit was separated, which was in him before he had a body, I can do nothing but believe, and I hope I am right. Because I'm not a prophet. I can just go by what the prophet said and what the Word of God said, match them together. That definitely, she was a child of God, a child of obedience, because who made her? Jesus had to. But she became disobedient. And so she had mated up with the wrong one. So I am looking at this here with this warning, flee it, children. If you have been sold into organization, get out. And a full-blown born child of God will get out, because the sheep hear the voice. I can't go beyond that. I don't know how I would teach it. Let's take a look at the Scripture and try to see some of these things, where they came from. Corinthians, the first book, the first chapter. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ. Not to the ones that aren't sanctified now. They're just, you know, they can do what they want about it. Called saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So that tells you right there is a God who is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can do what you want about it. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, and everything you're enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now what testimony is that? That's what Paul said. So that you come behind and no gift waiting for the coming of the Lord. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that all lines up with 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, 7 to 10. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Then if you've been called, God's faithful. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, the same judgment. Now listen, that can never happen at this hour. It started back in Ephesians, the split began to come, it was right in the Corinthian church in the first age. There's only one time it can possibly happen, and that has to be what Paul speaks of, his testimony being believed in that day. And Brother Branham categorically said concerning that very scripture, that you may be one, he said, that is for this hour. Okay. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There's arguments. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Now listen, you can simply say like others, I'm a Christian, and it doesn't do you much good, according to this here. Because I'm a Paul, I'm a Christ, it doesn't work. There has got to be a unanimity of testimony. You can't change it. And Paul said, say what I say, the same as Brother Branham said it. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified of you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul or Peter? I thank my God, I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say, I baptize in mine own name. Now, you notice right there, he said, baptize in my own name, didn't say titles. So Paul baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He certainly did, Acts 19. And I baptize also Jose Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of wisdom, lest the Christ, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. All right, now reading on down this, to the second chapter. It says, now, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring the testimony of God. Now, notice what he said there. The testimony of God, this is the same thing he's speaking of in the first chapter, the same thing he's talking of in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. They believe my, because they believe my testimony in that day. In plain English, somebody is going to believe and not be divided. And say, well, I follow William Branham. Then you divide him up, you follow Lee Bailey or Bob Brown or Terry Sproul or somebody else. You've got to be sick and weird. I've told you for years, keep my name out of it and forget any following me, because that's certainly asinine. I'm not trying to follow me, I'm trying to follow God. Well, if I'm sharp enough not to try to follow me, then don't you be stupid. Church is not built upon Lee Bailey. If it is, we're sunk right now. And I haven't even got enough money to take you out for a good beer fest. Or hire the dancing girls. You follow what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. So here we were pinned down. See? Now listen. For I determine not for anything among you save Christ Him crucified. That's not for this hour. It's not Christ Him crucified. It's Christ and Him risen from the dead in the form of the Holy Spirit amongst the Gentiles. It's a presence. You can do what you want about it. I don't argue to anybody. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? Now that's taken from over here in the book of Romans, the 15th chapter. Now in the 15th chapter, he talks about that power. He said, for I dare not, verse 18, for I dare not speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. And now he said, why did he say deed and word? It wasn't necessary. He's talking about the obedience, and obedience has to do with word. So therefore, the word is vindicated on the grounds of what he said here. Deed. Something was done. Now, what are the deeds? Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ and proven that it was the gospel of Christ. Now, that's the same in our day. See? Yet so I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, but lest I build upon him that foundation, and so on and so on. All right, now getting back to 1 Corinthians again, the second chapter. He said that your faith should not stand the wisdom and the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now he said, it's not as though we're not preaching wisdom. We're not preaching a worldly kind of wisdom. The kind that's a bunch of rot, philosophy, creeds and dogmas and hoopla and nonsense. See? Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, hidden wisdom which God ordained before unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, the Son of God, afresh to themselves. That's through in Hebrews 6. On purpose. Because Hebrews 6 is a repeat of the Gospels. Okay. But as it's written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither in the heart of man, the things that God prepared himself. But God revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now what? He searches the deep things of God. So, you've got the Spirit searching the deep things of God, the same as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God on the face of the earth is not different from God. Then what does it signify? It signifies the character of God in manifestation as to what he is doing. Understand what I'm saying? I know you're lost. But I already said it. You want another sermon? Did you look at it Friday nights? Did you pick it up? There's not two spirits, three spirits, four spirits. God is a spirit. So therefore, in a certain way, or a certain time, a certain hour, when he moves, it is called the Spirit of God in definition of the particular, peculiar thing that he is doing. All right, look at it. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What was it that the Spirit of God did not search as concerning the placing in the time element of the church until this hour? Melchizedek. Paul couldn't preach it. So therefore it has to come under the thunders. Under the seventh seal. It can only come at that particular time. And not any other time. So when you see the Spirit of God doing something, it's not as though it's another God. It's simply that which is in God himself at a specific time for a specific reason to a specific creation doing the very specific thing. And always you'll find that it's God in Christ. That's why Christ is the wisdom of God, the power of God, and all of these things. See, that's how you go back to Godhead in the beginning and see the Son of God, not God the Son. Remember, we're not oneness and threeness. We're not even two-ness. Most people are pretty fishy, but they're not even tunas, I can tell you that. They're the little remoras that attach themselves to fish and they're bloodsuckers. What a mess the people are in. All right. For what man knows the things of man, say the spirit of man that's in him. So that lets us out. Even the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now you take that back to Eve. Eve was right there with the Word of God, but within herself, she never had a definitive revelation beyond that. Don't touch it. And she stood back and she said, well, the Lord said that you mustn't eat, and he also said you shouldn't touch it. I don't find where God said don't touch it, but I can understand it because it has to do with sex. That's exactly true. Exactly true. Ask the question, what did she do to Adam at that time that she couldn't have done before? But you're not stupid. Let's grow up. Can't teach your kids and can't teach anybody. You should look at the thing the way it is. Not some jackass stuff they teach in the schools. And call it enlightenment. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Okay? Now, she had a spirit that was anointed by a word. And when she opened up to the word, the light in the word began to be effective in contradistinction to the life of the word that was in God, because she had rejected the word of God. Fine and dandy. We go so far then. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Well, that's alongside of our spirit which is allowed of God, but not of God. See? That we might know the things that are freely known to us, given to us of God. All right. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In plain English, the word of God defies any interpretation by nature or by man, or by the devil. Now, how are you going to know anything, even though it's written in the book, without the Spirit of God? I'm going to tell you what happens. Then men come together and they say, well, I'll tell you, we will form a council, and you have some spirit and I have some spirit, and the great one we elect, the Pope, he's got, well, he's really the representative, and we bring us all together and we will surely have God. You surely won't have God. No way, shape, and form. But God stands here hindering them for the sake of the elect. He didn't get us out of here. Then he'll finish the whole thing off. Now, how far do I want to read? Okay. I guess I read far enough. Don't read any more. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, same book. And we go to the 4th chapter. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. I said, let a man account of us as the ministers of Christ. In other words, you admit that I come from God. But notice, as stewards of the mystery of God. In other words, God has placed into this man's hands the mysteries of which Paul was speaking, of those who would know the true wisdom of God, in contradistinction to that which is handed out by Satan. More was required in stewards of man be found faithful. Faithful to the word. One of your biggest tests is this. Are you faithful to the word? How do you stand with material things in your life? Look at the churches, big money, big this and big that. And the preachers cannot stand to lose it. And the people cannot stand to depart from all that pomp and ceremony and all that nonsense. So how much word of God have they got? None. They're not faithful. Eve was not faithful with her body. How much could then she really have of God in ministering or anything else? That was her material asset. Women in their freedom to be sexually inclined, to entice and to do, show just what the church is. There's hardly one left that's not a prostitute, and there's no church that isn't. Let's get that down flat. For with me it's a very small thing I should be judged of you, of any man's judgment. Yea, I should judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. The brother Branham correctly said, and from this scripture, a prophet cannot be judged. I said, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, everybody wants to put that at the white throne judgment. Hogwash. At the white throne judgment, every man does not have praise of God. He said, depart from me. It's only this hour that a vindicated prophet can say, little bride, you never even did it. You're the righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even call you saints, I call you bride. We went from church to bride and from bride to, well, from church to saints and saints to bride. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Paulus for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against another. Brother Brown spoke on love. And what is Paul talking about? He is talking about association of individuals as one in a word, which is truly revealed to God. And can only be by the Holy Ghost, bringing that unity. See? You ever hear of a marriage that had real love to split? Never. What does real love come from? It doesn't come from what people think it comes from. It comes from singing the tire. It comes out of the Word because the Spirit's in the Word. All right, for who maketh thee to differ one from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it? And Paul says himself, he said, look at it. He said, I can't glory in these things. He said, what I got from God is so tremendous that God had to liberally beat me down. He said, God had to keep beating me down and let Satan do anything he wanted to do to me to keep me humble and realize that what I have is strictly of God. It is not of myself. How tremendous those preachers, those prophets must have been. They were, because God was in them. And also they were God to the people. But you're not going to get people to want that. No. Even the big mouths to say they believe this message. Oh, I love them, dear. Well, I'm sarcastic. I would try to help them if I could, but hey, look it. I never have believed when I thoroughly identified an opossum that I should turn him into a jackrabbit. I don't think either one's too good deed, but you know what I mean. I'm just telling you the truth. Revelation chapter 17. And it says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now that's down the road in the great tribulation. With whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine dregs. In other words, all the powers of kingdoms and all the people. This is a tremendous, great, big ecumenical thing. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, positively, you know that's the end-time kingdom that Daniel saw, because you can't have two men full of the Holy Ghost and prophets and seeing different things. Well, of course, John wasn't a prophet. He was merely a scribe. He was a scribe. So here he is now as a scribe telling his vision. And he sees the same thing that Daniel saw. What is it? It's a kingdom. And the kingdom has turned into a church system which is known as a whore with daughters. I suppose I should use pretty words like an evil woman with children. Ha! I like the tough-sounding word. You know, don't try to tell me, you know, something about a filet mignon, you know. Just call it a loin, chunk of beef, you know, in the proper. You know. Dressing up filth with some fancy name. Gee, if we're not finished, brother, sister, I don't want to live to when we are. We'll just go buy ropes and hang ourselves now. Well, that's it. You can't live any more than about 5 minutes choking. It's not as bad as you think. I almost choked to death in our daughter's house in Lima. I was just looking for a place to fall down and die. My wife was excited, my daughter, everybody excited. I got over being excited. I couldn't breathe. Look for a place to lie down and die. It's not as bad as you think. You think I'm a terrible preacher talking this way? I know I'm a terrible preacher talking this way. So you just put up with it or walk out and do what you want to do. I'm letting you know. What's this all about? In other words, a stone's a stone, and we've turned the corner. And we're not fooling. He is here. And I don't care if you people don't believe it. I'll smack you down and throw you out. I'm running this church, whether you know it or not. I've got an agreement. It's a written contract. your liking. Do what you want. I could walk off. I don't intend to. I might, when I want to go off, I'll walk off. You can't stop me. In other words, I'm not like the preachers in Africa and around the world that are scared. They're bound by their congregation. Somebody talks. You talk against me. Here's your Bible. You come up here, stand beside me. I challenge the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come up now. What I gave you in my introduction, you couldn't think of 15 years from now. So don't try to fool me. I'm not Brother George, Brother Willie, Brother this, Brother that. I'm Brother Lee. Don't fool with that nonsense. End time religion. Started in Eden. And the woman had her choice. Now we've got, if they're sons of God in denominations, they better come out. Full grown means we're at the end time. Full born means nobody else is coming in. You got your choice what you are. When's the church going to say the same thing? Brother Banner said, of 10 people, that's two more than eight. One place, that was an ark in Christ. Said the same thing, they'll all get out of here. You don't have to say what I say, forget it. Here's this woman at the end time. Here she is over here in Revelation 13, 1 to 10. It talks about her. And we've read it so many times. And here she is over here in 2 Thessalonians. The second chapter, 3 and 4. Let no man deceive you by any means. Except they're coming away, except there come a falling away first, even that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, the time of folly, where people can be deceived, is only at the end time. When the prophet comes on the scene and tells you the same as did God before the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And you will have your choice. Yeah. Son of perdition. The revelation can only be at the time when Matthew 12 is fulfilled, the Son of the Man in Luke 17 and 30. When they have the chance to receive the word based upon the miracles. Then they've got to know who's come down. Whether he's gone again. They're so busy worrying in Europe and all. Is Jesus the body really on the Father's throne? Is the blood really off the mercy seat? And they can't even quote the prophet. But I've got more message because they do quote the prophet. You want to know who real liars are? I can show you your letter if you want. One of the biggest shots of all doesn't have even his word is rotten. You can't trust him. He doesn't have a word. I get too many letters and too many phone calls. You can see that. And I spill them on you. But it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it? But you better believe my word, for I'm not lying. You want to get to phone the guy that phoned me this morning? You want to see the letter I got? Sure. I'm not kidding you any. Son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that's worship. So that he is God, sent the temple of God, showing himself he is God. Remember not that I told him I was yet with you? At the end time. Only at the time of the distinct revelation of the two spirits can you make your choice as to what is the word and stick with it. Eve turning down the word loosed the spirit of Satan on the human race. So he could get into human, which he did at the time of Jesus. I mean, really take over. The same thing in this hour. Turning down the word does it. All right. I hope you understand then the best I can teach you on this. Flee it, children, flee it. Get out of there. If you're really born again, get out of there. If you're a true child of God, I'm giving you a warning. That is the scripture. Revelation 18, come out of her. Paragraph 146, he said, cutting hair, what's that got to do with it? I explained that. It's command of God. Now let's look at it. Brother, let's stop here just a minute. I just feel somebody resented that. Might have been someone out in the wire somewhere. You think he couldn't feel around the world if he had to? Listen. A hair to a woman is a Nazarite vow. Hair to Samson was a Nazarite vow. Now, who in the world was Samson? He was a predestinated boy born to two predestinated people, though they didn't know it. He came on the scene. Now, what is particular about this fellow Samson? He was the beginning of the deliverance of Israel from the Philistines. Huh? Well, was he or wasn't he? I know I looked up here 50 minutes ago. 55. Who cares? I'm 75 myself, so what's the difference? All right, listen. Revelation 10 and 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mysteries of God should be finished, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel to his servants, the prophets. We're going to get out of here, away from the Philistines. So, at the time of that era, long hair was in. Are you women sitting here? Even a certain woman, I won't mention name, she said, well, I'll tell you one way to do it. She said, just make, if you don't have such long hair, what you do, you just keep curling it and giving a permanent raise, and you crack it off with your fingers. How many ways can you skin a cat? How many ways can you kill a chicken? Chop your head off, stick them like that, swirl them like that. Then that's three ways right there, right? How many ways can I shorten my hair? None scripturally. Now, young girls, look at me. I don't know if you cut your hair or not. The woman behind you can, though, because she ain't stupid. Because she watches your hair. You know, Brother Vail, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Women type the church. Remember, Jesus said, when the disciples said, we saw these great miracles that you told us to do. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. Brother Branham said, that was that infant church with the power of God binding the power of Satan. What about the church today? Brother Branham said, if my hand does it, the body does it. He talked about the bride doing it. Yet preachers are talking about big things that they're going to do, something like Brother Branham. I thought it was done. I thought all we had to do is believe now and walk in that light. All right. Long hair was in at the time okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night which he betrayed, took bread and did so and so. But of course, over here, in the same chapter, he did not have a revelation. Paul, the woman hater, couldn't stand them. So he put this big bondage on them. And he said here concerning her, beginning at verse 2. 1. Be you followers of me as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, do you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances which I have delivered, as I delivered to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, God, Christ, man, woman. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Cut your bangs, cut your hair, take a razor, cut it all off. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it's a shameful woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for much as he is the image and glory in God, but the woman's the glory of man. For the man is made not of the woman, but the woman of the man. And the man's made of God. In order, see, not though he's God. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. So in other words, she kicked your authority over him. Then she cuts your hair, she kicks authority over him. Defies the whole order of creation, the whole order of God. His brother Branham said, woman was not in the original, and she's doing her best to keep herself out of it. For as the woman is the man, even so is the man also the woman, but all things are God. Judge yourself. Is it comely that a woman praying to God uncovered? Judge, he said, can a woman even pray to God? What about your short-haired fruits in Pentecost getting all these answers to prayers? False anointing? Oh, he said, well, I know they got God. Well, have they? You know more than me and better than I do and better than the prophet. Vindicated prophet said different. Oh, he's one-haired, did he? I got news for you. I talked to his wife. And she wasn't glorifying some dead man as she sat in my presence and wept in First Cafeteria, as we talked about his love. And she said, Brother Vail, he's the only man I ever knew that had real love. She didn't know he'd even left any money. They didn't have any to leave. It was in the foundation. He left his wife and kids nothing, except the grace and mercy of God. Like he told the insurance agent, I've got assurance. Well, you have? He said, yeah, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Of course, assurance and insurance is really the same thing. If you're assured, you're insured. If you're insured, you're assured. It means, yes, I'm getting over it. Does not even nature teach you if a man have long hair, it's a shame? But if a woman have long hair, it's her glory, for her hair is given a covering. Then they take the last verse and make it stupid. If any man seem to be contentious with no such custom, in the church of God, they say, well, there you are. You see, Paul said, okay, leave it up to yourself. He did like fun. He said, this is an ordinance of God. You don't cut your hair in any of the churches. So these out here are whores. They're lodges. They're not churches. They're organizations. You see, you make a lot of fuss about nothing. Tell that to God. Where are you, God? Hey, you're making a lot of fuss about nothing. A little different, I pin it right down, isn't it? But it makes you feel good to know you're leaving your hair long. You don't get away with anything today, brother, sister. I don't, you don't. I hope God gets away with us. That means he catches us up. All right? Paul was vindicated when he said this. Look at Galatians. Remember, I showed you that you can't be judged. Paul wouldn't even judge himself. He couldn't say, well, maybe just a little here and there. He said, I told it exactly as it was. And Brother Branham, right on the tape, I'm sure it's on the tape, and I'm not positive, but I'm almost positive it's on the tape, when he said that he was different because he was the only man living with the vision, could tell it exactly as it was. He had total recall. In other words, there was no need for a scribe any longer because everything Brother Branham said was on tapes. He told it just as it was. Galatians, the first chapter, 11 and 12. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which you preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And he put the ordinances in there. And keeping our men's hair cut and women's hair long is an ordinance in the church. Like Brother Branham said, it was wrong way back in my mother's day. It's wrong in our day. Hair to Samson was a Nazarite vow. The beginning of deliverance. Watch the women, the church, go opposite. They cut their hair off, showing the beginning of bondage. Because when Samson had his hair cut off, he was blinded and weakened and left destitute. And like the foolish virgin, he was killed. Yeah. What a pity. Hair to Samson, Nazarite vow. A woman cuts her hair off, she absolutely denies her Nazarite vow that she is a bride to Christ. That's your testimony. Because there, that one thing, she spoils the whole picture, correct? A Nazarite is one that is consecrated for a purpose. Is that right? Samson was consecrated to an age and to a purpose. The age was the deliverance of the time at Israel. The purpose is one and the same. In other words, it was a time of judges. What's our time? The judge. How many in this message even believe that and understand it? You can't tell them about it. Oh, they'll gabble how, oh, they're the perfect righteous bride. Hallelujah, because they said so. Just a minute. Do they have church order? Church order is not gifts. That's just a little tiny bit of it. Church order is headship. Headship is here. So put him out again. Deny him. That's church order. Look, I'm not nice. I got so many contradictory passions and things, it is horrible. At least I'll spill my guts. You don't. You're nice. You know, you're real nice, though. You got no problems. You're a bunch of hypocrites, that's all. Just pull it right down. Don't lie with me and fool with me, because I can read you like a book, because I'm a man just like you. And I don't pretend anything up here. I got my complexes, got everything under God's high heaven that bothers me. Just the same as they bother you. But by the grace of God, either I'm going to stick with this message or die with it or something, because that's what I want. I don't want any change from it. But I'm not going to pretend I've got everything as though, hey, I got it made. I'm going to tell you one thing. He has got it made, because the faith that Jesus had in his Father in their covenant is what I've got my faith in. Amen. Not in my own. And if it takes anything more than that, forget it. See? He was consecrated an agent to a purpose. What was the purpose? To liberate the children of God. And to put them in the correct government, which was God and a prophet. And we know that God is his own prophet. Now we know that that prophet is here. We know that that judge is here. We know that our God is here. And it's in this hour that the women cutting of their hair have denied their God. They will go Trinitarian. The church is finished. She will be completely taken over by the Philistines. Her eyes have already been put out. She's naked, wretched, blind, and doesn't even know. You see, you sisters are carrying a big load, but your load is not near as hard as you think it is. to simply keep your dress and your hair, if that's all that's required of you, which it is when it comes to the basic fundamental principle with believing this word, a man has got so much more to deal with than you have. You ought to be so glad, as Brother Branham said, wear your hair with pride, wear your glory with pride. Well, it's so hard this, it's so hard that. Is that a fact? I feel so sorry for you, my wife and my daughter, nieces and granddaughter, all included. I'm so sorry you've got to contend with it. That is sheer sarcasm. Right. I'm not a nice guy. But you can't say I don't love you. Or I'd turn my back and forget it. 50 years ago, I vowed that I would go back to the United Church and be sweet and wonderful and kind. Make a bag of money, have a lot of friends, and fool them all by winning souls to Christ. Hog wash. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was stuck before me. But somehow the tree of life, without me knowing it, had a far greater beckoning call. Samson consecrated an agent to a purpose, therefore it long. How many minutes? 20? That's enough for tonight. 2 paragraphs. We'll read them quickly on Sunday and go back reading some more. And I hope I don't get finished before the millennium. I'm ready to go for 2 weeks and that's it. I don't know about you. Hope you haven't been too nervous, me pressing you too hard tonight. Kind of roughing up. I don't mean to rough anybody up. Look, I preach principle. I don't preach at people. It's up to you. You do what you want. It's your life. It's not mine. I just preach the Word of God. I believe with all my doubt I preach it right. I depend on every word the prophet said. I depend on God to help me with those words. Because some are so tough, some are so hard to understand. But His grace supplies us with more than our needs. If God is not an abundant God, an overflowing God, an excessive God, then He's not God. Because God means He can control and handle anything, and it doesn't mean anything. As though He had any effort or any strain. Because He's God. But He talks to us like we talk to each other concerning hands, eyes, ears, limbs, heart, soul, speech, love, anger, hatred, malice. But God's not bugged. If you talk to Him angry at the wicked, is He really? Well, He says He is, I believe it, but not like you and I. God's sufficient. And He showed us a little of His sufficiency tonight. When we saw how Brother Branham could fulfill Hebrews 4 and 12, stand between before 5,000 or 5 million people, could be 5 billion, it wouldn't matter. He could take every spirit under His control in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the glory of God. Stand right there with the spirit of the judge. And not one person who couldn't be discerned. That's the way it is tonight, brother, sister. What He says here is so stupid to the world and to the world church. It's so out of line and out of place. What does it really matter in the face of the great things? That's the women. That's the church. What has it got to do with it anyway? You pay your taxes, don't you? Eat because you're hungry. Unless you're terribly sick and something's wrong, you do sleep. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. There's a life. You don't question it. You don't have to ask a lot of questions. I don't know the first stupid thing about electricity, but boy, I can sure throw that switch. I can even look downstairs if there's one of the breakers is out. I've got enough brains to watch that I don't touch a hot wire. That's most of the time I've got enough brains. And the bigger the wire, the more careful I get. And that's just about the way this message is. You don't need a lot going for you. All you need is God. Not the person, but just His Spirit that helps at the time of the presence of delivery. And He's going to get us out of here. Let's rise and be dismissed. Brother Stan Biddy's with us tonight. We're sure to greet them. And they'll be right at home with us. Heavenly Father, we thank You now for Your love tonight. You've given us the help You've given us, Lord. And I always marvel, Lord, at how You come through with Your word that the prophet brought us. Those places in there, Lord, that we wouldn't understand except it's all part of the part which is the head of this hour. And we're more grateful, Lord, than we ever told anybody. But we're not near as grateful as we ought to be talking to You. Maybe we ought to take more time off. I know we should more time off, Lord, just to be with You in meditation and think of Your goodness and grace. That You could tell us these things, Lord, and help us. Getting deep within our beings, Lord, right deep within the soul, until the life of the Word comes forth. And we take on Your very nature, Lord, because that's what the prophet spoke of so much, that very nature. And that nature, Lord, is to hate the things of the flesh and the things of the mind. To make sure we bring them right into obedience to the Word of God. So that there won't be one word taken off and one word added on. In no way, shape, and form. Blessed Lord, we pray tonight that as Your word came forth in the prophet and women and men too, because they're all part of it, know that it really does matter how we look. And that look, Lord, has more to do with hair and clothes than anything else. Because there'll be a lot of women out there, Lord, even women rabbis, as well as there'll be women priests, I suppose. I don't know. Who knows? But there's women preachers by the thousands. And there's the deaconesses, no doubt, by the hundreds of thousands. There's all these women, Lord, running around. And all they can talk about is the intrinsic beauty and values, Lord, that are within You. But they haven't got 2 cents of time for the fact that You said, keep your hair and your clothes right, and You told the men the same thing. We see the Rickies and the Rickettas, as Brother Branham called them, Lord. Let it not be numbered among us. Let it not be one part of us, Lord. But now, Father, by the power of this age and the spirit of sanctification, which is that life within the Word, separate us now, Lord, by the washing of water, our garments clean before You, Lord, that we might approach to the tree of life. Not in ourselves, Lord, no. But because of grace and mercy and the ability to discern, Lord, I'm convinced, Lord, that Eve saw both trees there. She had to see them both there. She could see the one, she'd see the other. But we know, Lord, she listened to the wrong voice. And then it was too late. The eyes were opened that the tree was there, but they couldn't touch it. And I believe, Lord, many people are going to someday suddenly realize that You were here. Absolutely. Just like the one that came down to Abraham. Discerning the thoughts and intents. Sarah was in the tent. But he knew and he could read it. Father, I pray that our people here, every single one, no matter how old or how young or whatever, will come under, Lord, the power of the Spirit within that word. Receive that word. And believing the life of the word can and will come forth in obedience unto You, Lord. and these little things until the bigger things also take their place. Cleanse our minds and our hearts, we pray, O God, tonight. Purify us from all the things of the flesh, Lord, with the animosities and wrath and all those things that bind. So until, Lord, the sweet gentleness and spirit of Christ comes in, but we know, Lord, it has to be encased in a rock. It's got to be like flint. Can't be wishy-washy bending here and there. With the totality being of God. So, Father, heal the sick amongst us, we pray, Lord. Give strength to those that need strength, joy to those who need joy, Lord. We know the revival's over, but we also know there's a joy in the inner man. There is that peace that passes understanding. There's all these things, Lord, that you said in your word, and we have them. And by faith, Lord, they can be truly apprehended and then come forth in their individual strength and power. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name.